watching these Kyler Murray rumors, which at this point I think I've read that he's going to go number one or he's going to slip into the 20s. So what are you hearing now?
I'm still hearing he's going number one. I haven't heard anything different since January when he made the switch officially from baseball to football full-time. Anything else would absolutely shock me with Kyler Murray. I don't know who the Cardinals are trying to fool at this point or why, but if Kyler Murray is not the pick number one to Arizona, I would be floored. And even besides that, he wouldn't make it probably past the fourth pick with the Raiders if somehow he miraculously fell.
Well, let's talk Raiders first. So if he falls to the Raiders, does that mean the Raiders are out of the four pick and they trade back, or the Raiders take him?
I think they would take him. I'm not convinced that this coaching staff is fully sold on Derek Carr. I think they're okay with rolling into one more year with him right now, but I think if there was a scenario, then that would be a surprise to them. I'll be honest with you guys. They're not expecting Kyler Murray to be there when they pick at four. I know they really, really like Quinnen Williams and Devin White, both of those players, and they have a ton of different players circled for 24 and 27. So the Raiders are going into this with a plan, obviously keeping a very tight circle there after sending much of their scouting department home. But right now, they're not expecting Kyler to fall to them.
Well, let's stick with the Raiders if it does happen. And, you know, they're not convinced on Carr. If they take Murray, what do they do with Carr? Say he's the guy this year. What do they do for the next 3 years? How do you get rid of that money? How do you make a trade?
I think there would be teams that would call. I think one of them, okay, being the Miami Dolphins. I've heard some buzz that they would have interest in Derek Carr. They're trying to figure out their quarterback situation down there. They're not in a huge rush to do it. I don't think they're going to reach for one at 13, one of the other quarterbacks that's not Kyler or Haskins, maybe a Locker Jones. They're not necessarily sold on those guys right now. So the good news for the Raiders, if this did happen and they need to move Derek Carr, they wouldn't be short of suitors in that scenario, and they'd probably get a second-round pick back for him in that spot, maybe a little more.
Yeah, the funny thing with Carr is everyone complains that he's making so much money. Now when you start to put him up against some of the top guys in the game up at $34, $35 million a year, you're like,
not bad.
21, 22, 21 million, you know, each of the next 3 years after 2019, that's Nick Foles' money. Someone could deal with that.
Yeah, it's not bad at all, and that's why I think the Raiders have been kind of in this mode where they're not panicking to move on from him right now. I think the big thing that a lot of scouting departments are looking ahead is here that after Kyler Murray and Haskins, this is not a very good quarterback class. And of course, we always kick the can down the road and say, well, next year's will be better. But there are a couple names already that teams have their eyes on, whether it's Justin Herbert, who shocked a ton of schools and left them kind of screwed by not declaring for this draft, Tua Tagovailoa. So the Raiders, and all things considered, they're doing the right thing right now by trying to rebuild out the rest of this roster, and they'll figure out the quarterback situation when they know they can get it right.
So who is Bosa just locked in at two as long as he doesn't go one?
Yeah, he's locked in at two. I've heard from people I really trust that the 49ers will not pass on him in that spot just because they traded for D4. He's really on a pay-as-you-play kind of deal. They can get out of that deal after 1 year. He's been very up and down throughout his career. They still need another guy, and that guy will be Nick Bosa come draft night.
So, I mean, apparently, teams are excited about all these defensive linemen and rushers and everyone else. Is it possible that, you know, they could just start falling in love with them and Murray doesn't go one, somebody trades up and tries to get one of these guys in that top spot?
It would really, really surprise me. As I see the draft going right now, of course there could be surprises, but it seems like Kyler's going number one to Arizona. Nick Bosa's going number two to San Francisco. The Jets are the team where everybody's curious because they would love to move the pick, but they have not found somebody to really get business going with right now. So if the Jets get, it's weird to use the word stuck at the third overall pick because that's a great pick in this draft, but if they do stay there, the pick would be Quinnen Williams. So that's where it gets very, very interesting for Oakland in their scenario, and still interesting for the Jets because will somebody get desperate when the clock starts and make the call to move up with them?
How? So why are we hearing all the bluster around the Jets with Ed Oliver?
It's that time of year, to put it quite simply. As somebody that covers college football on the road during the season and then really kicks into draft mode from December, these are the 2 weeks that anyone should be aware of. There's a lot of nonsense out there. You have to really be careful who you trust, who you believe. I do not believe the Jets will be taking Ed Oliver third overall.
So when we're talking about the quarterback class, and you said beyond Murray and Haskins, it's, you know, maybe kind of weak. Is it weak beyond Murray? Because I don't know about Haskins either.
Yeah, I mean, a one-year starter is certainly a projection pick, and I think when you look at the teams that like him, which is the New York Giants and the Cincinnati Bengals and even the Washington Redskins, those teams aren't really sitting there thinking they have to play him right away. They feel like they have bridge starters right there that can hold it down for now. So Kyler Murray is the guy. When I stack this class, Kyler Murray is a top five overall player. Dwayne Haskins kind of hovers around the top 20. And then you get into the gap where Drew Locke is a top 50-ish player and Daniel Jones top 75. All four of those guys are expected to go into the first round, which goes to show you how desperate teams are at the quarterback position and the reaches that really happen there.
Connor J. Rogers, Bleacher Report, NFL draft expert up with Cofield & Company. Why am I seeing Giants connected to Daniel Jones?
Once again, I think it's that time of year now. I'm not putting anything that dumb past this front office with some of the decisions they've made. I mean, you trade Odell Beckham for the 17th overall pick in a class that everybody claims there's 15 first-round players. So there's your problem number one right there. And I think a lot of people believe that Daniel Jones can be had at 17, and for whatever reason, the Giants have not taken the quarterback position serious for quite some time, as seen last year when they passed on Sam Darnold second overall. So that's why. Now, from what I've heard is the Giants have done a ton of work on Dwayne Haskins and are quietly hoping he falls to six. That's not a guarantee. That's the problem with all of this. So I think they like Daniel Jones. I don't think they like him as much as they led everyone on to believe right now.
So I guess, is there, you mentioned earlier, you don't think Murray would fall below four. Is there a nightmare scenario for him, though, where just nobody takes him?
No. I mean, no matter what we hear with the height or the weight or the size, scouts realize this guy's electric. I mean, he is a fantastic football player. He'll be fine at the next level. He does protect his body very well, gets himself out of trouble. He's got an awesome, awesome arm. Teams would be thrilled to see him not be selected number one overall. But if Cliff Kingsbury truly has a hold of that war room for Arizona, he's going to be the guy.
Do we care about the Wunderlich scores?
No, never.
Does anyone? Do NFL people care about it?
I don't think so. I mean, Quinnen Williams is regarded as the best player in the draft, and I think it was leaked that he got a 9 or an 11, and Quinnen Williams never struggled academically at Alabama, so that kind of tells you, and he certainly didn't struggle on the football field or in the interviews, so I think that kind of tells you how useless the Wunderlich has become.
Do we take tight ends in the top 10? What's the rule?
I wouldn't. I really wouldn't, but I'll tell you what, T.J. Hockenson is completely in play at 7 for Jacksonville, 8 at Detroit, and 9 at Buffalo, so somebody will break that rule. Somebody will do it. It's crazy to me. I mean, I like the player. He's very similar to Greg Olsen, but who's had a great career, but just taking that position in the top 10 is very counterproductive to building a football team.
The worst. The worst. Essentially, they have to turn into
sense.
A top 3 tight end in the game and borderline Hall of Famer to justify a top 10 pick.
Yeah, it's really like almost like drafting a kicker before round 5, I would say. It's just one of those things where you have to make sure they're an elite player to make sure it happens, and I personally can't get behind it. I think the most recent example we saw is a couple of years ago, O.J. Howard was regarded as a top 5 player in the draft, and he didn't go till almost pick number 20, so teams will usually wait, but in this class, they will not.
We talk about, you know, need and position and all those other things, but to you, who is the best player in this draft?
I still think it's Nick Bosa. I really do. I think for whatever reason, I guess the injury teams a lot of people have forgotten how good he is. San Francisco hasn't. They're happy. They're thrilled that he's going number 2 overall, shockingly. I think number 1, he plays a premium position on the edge pass rush spot. I mean, I think he has everything you want. The guy breathes football. He's been productive when on the field. He's explosive. I think he actually is just a fantastic all-around player. He's so good against the run and really good after getting after the quarterback. So best on the football field talent when healthy, it's Nick Bosa to me.
Who is the potential Derwin James of this draft, the guy who slips, you know, past 15, past 20, but turns out to be a hell of a player?
That's a really good question. I could see a scenario where maybe Devin Bush starts the fall, the linebacker from Michigan. I mean, he's just a superstar and a true alpha team leader. I could see him falling because he plays linebacker. We've seen it in the past before with great linebackers, so he's one of those guys. For me, Taylor Rapp, I mean, I know he ran a 4.740, but he was a phenomenal player for Washington. So if he falls outside of the first round, it's going to be your safety there where everybody's going to say, why did this happen? this was an absolute mistake. So Taylor Rapp would be my bet for the guy that has the biggest fall, but also some of the best production.
I'm looking at last year's top 15. And I'd like to give everyone an incomplete, although there were some great players in the top 15. I don't think it's fair to grade Rosen yet, although if he fetches nothing back, if he's traded, that's not a good sign. In that top 15, was Colton Miller the worst pick?
Yeah, it was in my eyes. I said it at the time. I hated it because you look at a player that was a developmental tackle, you just simply can't bet on that at 15 overall, especially Derwin James has been a superstar since he was in high school. He got to Florida State and was a superstar right away, and he did nothing to prove anyone or give anyone reason to doubt that. So his fall was very bizarre. Colton Miller, listen, guys, it's never great when you take a tackle in the top 15 and then you go out and make another one the highest paid in the league. I understand you need two, but it just goes to show you how much of a priority they needed to make both those tackle spots, where Colton Miller is still a gigantic question mark in my eyes.
So what does that mean? Do you trust John Gruden, or can you trust the Raiders more now that Mike Mayock is around?
I trust them more now. I do not trust John Gruden last year when he was basically making all of the picks. I mean, the Brandon Parker pick, there's people in the league that absolutely laughed at it at the time, where it's almost a two-round reach at that point. Even P.J. Hall, another one of those. But I think they have the right people in there now where they're going to use this draft capital the right way, especially that core group that is still there calling the shots, you know, headlined by Mike Mayock. I think they'll make some really smart decisions, especially Thursday night.
Connor J. Rogers, Bleacher Report, NFL draft expert. Let's come full circle. So, again, you feel Murray is going to go number one, and then what happens with Rosen? What does he fetch? Do they move him absolutely for sure in the next couple of days, you know, around the draft?
Yeah, they'll move him. They don't want that kind of personality in there while they're bringing in their new face of the franchise just 1 year later, so not great. I think he'll bring back a second-round pick. I still keep hearing the Chargers as one of the teams involved, although their GM basically came out and said it today to all their local media, oh, we don't think that's going to happen. That's a lot of nonsense. Any press conference this time of year is a lot of nonsense. So Chargers, Washington, they're two teams to really keep an eye on for Rosen. He does not bring back a first-round pick, though, as far as I've heard.
Someone in the studio is livid right now. The only remaining, aside from his parents, Tyrod Taylor fan is Adam Hill, my co-host, who is convinced that Tyrod signed with the Chargers to be the long-term guy after Phillip Rivers, but maybe that's not the case.
I love Tyrod Taylor. I don't think that's the case. I do think Rosen would not see the field in a even backup kind of role. I think Tyrod will control that role, but they would just be buying low. Rosen's salary is ridiculously cheap, where you're just taking a swing for the fences to develop him over these next 2 to 3 years.
Adam, you okay?
No, they're not trading for him. It's not.
I was serious. He loves him. He loves his Thai god.
All right. Yeah, listen.
So, Connor, what do you got coming up next couple of days on Bleacher Report? Obviously, you must have a ton of video. You got some live stuff as well?
Yeah, live stuff. We'll be live here at Bleacher Report on our YouTube, Twitter, the app, all that kind of stuff. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Our Stick to Football podcast will be going literally every single day. So if you want content, you can find it with us with the draft here at Bleacher Report.